All right. Greetings, salutations, good morning, whatever may drift around church. It's good to be with you this morning. I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, the 38th verse, and when you get there, say praise the Lord this morning, would you? When you get to that scripture, say praise the Lord. There you go. First Corinthians, the 14th chapter, 38th verse.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
There we go. There we go.
Praise the Lord.
There we go.
Praise the Lord.
There we go. Praise the Lord. Hey, the Bible says we should praise the Lord with our hearts, our souls, and our right, with everything we have. And you know what? Whenever we can praise Him, there's nothing wrong with praising God, is there not? Amen. I'll tell you, I preached to you last week a little bit about church discipline, you know, and I'm going to continue on that line a little bit this morning, and we're going to go down a little bit different here this morning. But the scripture that I'm going to read to you in 1 Corinthians 14:30, I'm going to be in a lot of different scriptures, so just bear with me. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wow. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. This morning, we come with just praising you this morning for your goodness, for your mercy, for the grace that you bestowed upon us, Lord. I ask you, Father, this morning, now that you'd go out amongst the hearts here this morning, I pray that you would use this service, pray that you'd use this sermon, pray that you'd use your word this morning for the upbuilding of your kingdom, for your glory, and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. Ignorance is such a strong word, is it not? You know, whenever you're saying that somebody is ignorant, you're saying something that, you know, that's pretty bold. That's a pretty strong statement. Am I right? If somebody's ignorant of something, you know, that probably they don't understand pretty much what they're talking about, right? That's pretty much what it is. I'm reminded of this a little bit. Here recently I had to do a thing at work, and I had to stand up and do the presentation. But anyway, they wanted me to do it, and I had no idea about the subject that I was talking about. So instead of showing my ignorance, I really got to studying and figuring out what I needed to talk about. And you know, Paul's talking about here the same thing. You know, that, you know what, whenever he did, when people weren't understanding what the Word of God was meaning, he said, well, you know what, if they're going to be ignorant about it, and they're not wanting to take the time to study and to figure out what's going on in God's Word, he said, go ahead and let them be ignorant. Wow. That's good. You know what? To me, Paul is talking about the situation right here that's going on in a lot of the church world today. It's going on right before our eyes sometimes. And you know what? People are deliberately being ignorant about God's Word, not trying to rightly divide the Word of God in truth. And you know what? If they want to continue down that path, just as Paul is stating right here, let them go ahead and be ignorant about it. Because God will deal with it in the end, right? And that's what it is. But you know what? I'm going to be mostly preaching from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians here as I get into that. So just mark what I said. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Over in the 12th verse, Paul goes into talking about it, and he says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And he goes on to say, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain? And is our faith also vain? Listen, if Christ did not raise from the tomb, I'm standing up here preaching to you just for the simple fact that I want you to hear my voice this morning. Very plain, very blunt. If Jesus Christ has not rose from the grave, like the Bible has said that it prophesied about and that it told us that he had not risen, I am standing here just saying words to you. Every preacher in this country is doing the same thing because my preaching is vain. It will not do you any good this morning. If you want to be ignorant about it, go ahead and be ignorant about it, because I'll tell you the truth this morning. God sent his Son to die. He died. He is raised from the grave. He lives. If he does not live today, lock up the church building. We don't need to be paying the bills here, right? For I want you to know that this morning, that if he is not rose from the grave, then all my preaching is in vain. And you want to know what else he says right there? And he says, your faith is also in vain. Everything, the biggest bombshell that's ever hit the religious world is not whether Muhammad is what he was, not whether Buddhism is what it is, but is a very simple fact that we serve a God that sent his son to die and that he rose again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the biggest bombshell that ever hit. And brothers and sisters, if we do not believe that, don't worry about anything else because your faith is vain. No matter what else you believe, it is wrong. You might as well forget about it. You know what? Whether you're praying for the lost, whether you're praying for the sick, whatever you may be praying for, your faith is vain this morning. If Jesus Christ does not live and sit at the right hand of God this morning, your faith is vain. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Paul had the way of letting the church know. The Corinthian people, for whatever reason, had so many things. If you go back and read in Corinthians, there's so many things that God needed to straighten out. And brothers and sisters, he sent the right man for the job because Paul didn't beat around the bush. He let them know exactly what was going on, and he put it out there. If Jesus Christ had not rose from the grave, our faith is vain this morning. There's no need. Yea, and ye have found false witnesses. You know what he's saying? If Jesus didn't die, you're all liars here this morning. Can I just say to you, but we're all liars here this morning if Jesus Christ didn't die, didn't raise from that grave. If he had not resurrected, what we're trying to preach to people, our family, what we're showing by coming to this church Sundays and Sunday nights and Wednesdays, what we are showing is that we believe that Jesus Christ lives. Amen. That we believe that he is a risen Savior by our testimony, by coming here this morning. And if he has not risen, then we're all a bunch of liars. We're coming here just to socialize. And we know that that's not the way it is. We come here to serve a risen Savior is why we should be here this morning. We come here this morning to worship and praise God because God sent his Son and we worship him because of it. Praise God this morning. I want you to know something, folks. God sent his Son. He's alive this morning. And I did not come here in vain this morning. I believe that he's still saving souls. I believe he's still healing the sick. I believe he still does the things that this Bible said that he can do. And if I don't believe that, I need to go home and just shut up because my faith is not in vain this morning. What I'm preaching to you this morning is not in vain this morning. You're right. Some people don't get it. They don't understand it. They never will, seems like, understand it. They come so many times whenever the needs in their life and something's going on in their life, they come to this altar. I've seen them come to this one. I've seen them come to other ones. And they get up out of there. And you may not see them for months on end. Then when something else happens, then they come back and we wonder why and why God does not. What's going on in their life? I'll tell you what's going on. Your faith is vain this morning. Can I say it any plainer? Can I say it any plainer? You know what? God wants us to be what he wants us to be. My faith is not vain. My preaching is not vain this morning. I believe what I'm preaching because I know it has worked for me in my life. And if I do not know that it works, I will not be preaching to you this morning. I know what's right. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Now get this. Mark this down in yellow if you want to. Ye are yet in your sins. If Christ has not risen from that tomb, you're sitting here, every one of you are lost and destined for a devil's hell. That's sitting here this morning if he is not raised. There isn't a one of us here that can say that. We that can say it because what's what it said? It said, is your faith in vain? Yet you're in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Listen to me. There isn't one of us that's put a loved one in the ground that's been a Christian down through the years. And we have that hope to know that one of these days we'll see them again one of these days. There are people in this church, in the Corinthian church, that believe, you know what? That this is all a bunch of nonsense. Well, you know what? I do not believe it's nonsense. I'm going one of these days to see my sister one of these days that died when she was young. I'm going one of these days to see the friends and family that I've lost down through the years that professed in Christ and I knew what their lives professed. I'm going there one of these days. They're in the grave now. I believe in the twinkling of an eye. One of these days we're going to go see Jesus when He comes back to take His church out of here or whenever we die. I believe we're going to see Him one of these days.
Amen.
In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. You know what that means? That doesn't mean your eye blinking. It doesn't even, that didn't even take that long. It means that little light particle that your eye picks up. That's what it means in the twinkling of an eye. It doesn't mean blinking your eye. You look it out and see what the Greek means in that. Brothers, it's like that is what it means. It's quicker than snapping your finger. It's quicker than anything you can think of. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, whenever He comes back, brothers, and said, we're going to be with Him. I don't doubt that one bit this morning. I don't doubt it one bit. And then they also which are fallen asleep are in Christ are perished. And if in this life, now listen to this. Listen to this. Mark this down. And in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I want you to know something this morning. If all you're doing is coming to church here and your only hope is on this side of eternity, you are a miserable individual here this morning. Because you know why? I got a hope that goes beyond this miserable life down here sometimes. I got a life that goes beyond this world down here and all the sin and mayhem and all the bills and the fuss and the finance we got down here. I've got more to look forward to. I've got more to go to than what this world holds for me. And believe you me, I love this world. I love what the God has given me and done for me. But you know what? It has no comparison. It has no hold on me. None. I'll tell you what, if He decides to take me out tonight, if He decides to take me out today, I am ready to go. I know where my home lies. I know where my alliance lies, believe it or not. And that's in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's where my alliance lies. I've got a place beyond here where I lay my treasures up over there. They're all laid up down here. I'll tell you, if I had my hope and I had to worry about down here, and you know what? We do. Well, all of us have done it. We know if you have 401ks, you have savings, whatever you may have, don't you look at them once in a while and worry about whether or not you're losing or whatever. Oh, yeah, we do it. I've done it once in a while. But I tell you what, I've learned that my hope's not in this world. My hope's beyond all this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. I'll tell you what, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant of that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, we serve the risen God. And I'll tell you over in Peter, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, but beloved, be not ignorant. There's that word is again, of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to know something here this morning. If you're sitting back there and do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, it is not God's fault this morning. It's not Jesus' fault this morning. It's not their will that any should perish. They went to the extra length. They went to the extra mile. That anybody that's willing to totally give it all to Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't give it part way to Him. You have to give every ounce of what's going on in your life to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you He will save your soul if you do that. He will save you. But you know what happens? So many come up here. They want to give Him part of what's going on in their life. They don't want to give it all to Him. I can handle that part. No, you can't. No, you can't. You give it all to Him. You come His way, or you don't come any way at all. You know, when He said the Lord is not slack concerning the promise, as some men count slackness, that is long-suffering to us, that all should come to repentance, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief. In the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Listen to this. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He lays it out pretty blunt to us right there, does he not? Does he not tell us? What's he trying to say there? Listen, he says, listen, what kind of a person ought you to be knowing what's going to happen one of these days? Knowing that he's coming back. Knowing that this world that you see around us here is going to be dissolved and burned up one of these days, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And if you want to be part of that, we need to be right. We need to get right with God, and we need to stay right with God. That's what he's trying to say. In all holy conversation and godly, looking for and hastening into the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Man alive, I'll tell you what, it's in your book also. It's there. He's not telling us just to be what we want to be. This isn't, you know, he's not telling us to go down whatever path we want to go. He's telling us to live a life that is holy and according to his word. Preacher, you're telling me to be perfect. I did not say be perfect. There's not a soul in this building that is perfect. But I want you to know something this morning. If you're not striving to be perfect, you're wrong. You're wrong. We have got to strive to be as perfect and as close to God as we can. And don't just push it aside and say, well, you know what? I can't go do that. You know what? I can't be that way. Let me tell you something. You better be that way. You better be that way. You better try. You better pray. You better go down on your knees and you better ask God, show me what direction I need to go and how I need to do this. Because if you are not, I'll tell you what, you better be careful. You better be careful. The world's going to melt with a fervent heat one of these days. And I'll tell you what, he's going to come to get his church. Are you part of his church this morning? Let him that is ignorant stay ignorant. There are those today. There are those today we talk to all the time. There are those today that we come in contact with in our families and in our daily walk of life. And you know what? The ignorance abounds. And I hate to say that, but it does. It abounds because people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to hear what God said, that we have to accept His Son as our Savior. And if we do not accept Him, we are bound for a devil's hell, and there's no hope for us. None. None. Those that are ignorant. I said, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That's, you know what? Remember what the Bible talked about those people? You know, they turned them over to a reprobate mind. Remember that? He said they believe a lie and be damned. The Scripture talks about that. Let me tell you something. There's people out there in this world today, and I believe this wholeheartedly, who are going to church and sitting on church pews week after week that have believed a lie and are damned or headed for a devil's hell because the people behind the pulpit are not preaching the Word of God. They're not preaching the truth. They're not preaching. They're not being like the Pauls of this world. Whenever it comes to preaching to churches and stuff, they're afraid to preach things. And these people are going and they're going there and they're happy. They're sitting with their arms crossed and they're saying, man, I went to church. I did my due diligence. I want to tell you something. Going to church does not make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. It does not do it. Going to church is not the essence of a Christian. We need to go as much as we can. But you know what? We need to believe. And like Greg said earlier, it is a belief that goes beyond just a mind belief. It's a heart belief. And if you do not believe with your heart, if you do not believe with your heart wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, this altar is open this morning. If you let the world influence you to thinking that, you know what, some of this stuff is nonsense, this altar is open to you this morning. It's open. Because you know why? It's time. The Bible says it's high time that we wake out of sleep, out of slumber. It's high time. The church world has been sleeping too long, folks. He's coming back. This earth, this world out here is not going to get any better, but we need to be on our horse. We need to get as many people saved as we can. You don't believe the devil is getting as many people as he can get? He's taking them down. Do we not think that he's not doing his job? Why should we not do our job? Why should we not? Praise God this morning. I tell you what, I love Him. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I'm done this morning. If anybody, they get a song.